time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and we are glad to have you here today. We're going to start off this week with an introduction to you, the point of interest, a point of reference for not only you, but your children. Your teenagers, this may be a great building block, a bridge to open up some discussion about the Bible and witnessing, whatever it may be. Check it out. It's called The Uprising, and you can find this on steelroots.com. That's the first season. They are in the process. Well, we've got somebody here today that's going to tell us a lot more about it, and she's much more qualified to talk about it than I am. We have a wonderful friend that we had the opportunity to meet and to get to know. Fascinating, fascinating sister in Christ, Jules Christine. Is that correct, Jules Christine?
It is correct.
I didn't ever learn your last name. It's just Sister Jules to us.
Amen. I receive that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Friendships. Jules, first of all, we want to talk about this program. It is fascinating, but you need to clarify for our listeners first, there is a difference between the Uprising ministry and the program that is found on Inspiration Network and several others called the Uprising. Why don't you give us an idea of what the differences are and what the similarities are?
Well, we are, in fact, two different entities, and I like to explain it as we're fingers on the same hand, but we're two different parts. First, it was the Uprising, founded by Pastor Jay Hayslip. It's called The Uprising Is Here. It's a skateboard ministry that includes professional skaters, Brian Sumner, Christian Hosoi, Pastor Jay Hayslip, as they called him, Jay Alabama out in the skate world, Richard Mulder, Ray Barbie, Lance Houghton, and a multitude of others who kind of come in when we need them for the Lord. And what they do is they go around the nation and they preach the gospel, but they use their talents as a platform for the gospel. They believe that what God's given them is an avenue, another finger to show the gospel and just reach out to the nations. And they skate, they give their testimonies, they do altar calls. And it's a really powerful, relevant thing that reaches the youth of this nation as well as the adults. And the Uprising TV show was birthed last year out of The Uprising Is Here. And Steel Roots had approached three of the fellows, Brian, Jay, and Christian, to be filmed and go about their daily lives and what they do and how they preach the gospel on a daily basis, how they're out there doing God's will and God's work on their behalf. And it's turned into a series called The Uprising on the TV show. And so we're together on the same hand, but we're two different fingers.
Okay. Let's direct people to where they may be able to find the first season. Is that on steelroots.com?
It would be www.steelroots.com/The Uprising. And you can find all of the episodes from the first season on there.
Okay. Well, we really encourage our listeners to go check out at least one of these episodes so that you can see some of the people we're going to be bringing you throughout the week. These are the people that are involved with this program, and you do not have to be a skateboarder to really appreciate the impact and power of Christ through this program. If we sat here and just talked about a TV program, big deal. But when you see that these are very real people serving a very real God in a very real way, matter of fact, I would call it probably the best reality program that is out on TV right now because it is real. And Jules, you work with these people. You know these people. Are they for real?
They are for real. They're as real can be. We did an event recently, and part of the people who had sewed into that event wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to be watered down. And you do not get watered down with these guys. They are radical disciples for Christ. And that's what these guys are doing. They're going out as disciples of Christ, and they are on fire. And they're empowering every person that they meet and encounter.
Well, listen, we're going to give that website one more time a little later in the program. So if you didn't catch that, please get a pen ready. Jules, before we get too deep into this, because I want to save some of that for throughout the week, let's find out a little bit more about you. What is your testimony and how did you come to know the Lord?
Amen. Well, I believe it's the Lord's testimony and it's just my story, but when I was 5, my mother died, and we belong to the Christian Science religion, which I now know as a cultic religion. But at that time and in my young life, I didn't realize that what it was or what it had entailed.
Right.
And my mother believed that God could heal her, and praise God, because I know my God can. But they did not believe in going to the doctor at all.
Okay.
So she had died of something that was really rare but could have been easily treated. And I didn't really remember her death at the time. I was 5 years old, and I went to live with my father and my stepmother. And I just kind of blacked that whole memory out of my mother. And I went through a lot of abuse with my stepmom. She was very physically abusive, very verbally abusive, and went through sexual abuse, not only with my father, but some incest with some step-siblings and into some more family as I got a little bit older. And going through that step, obviously, there was something probably a little off or a little different about me. And back in that time, they didn't report child abuse like they do these days. I would go to school with bruises on me. I was very quiet and introverted. I didn't talk at all. My parents placed me into foster care by their choice. And I went through many different homes. There was never a family that loved on me or supported me. It was more about the money and the income that you could make off of that at the time. And so I grew up with all these feelings inside of me and not knowing how to process them. And at a certain age, it turned into rage. Probably about 13, I started running away. I was raped, and that just sent me into a tailspin of being promiscuous, that I thought I could have control over things. At 13, I was selling weed. And it perpetuated on, and I caught the tail end of the punk rock scene. And I thought, this is it. I found my family. It's rebellion. It's anarchy. It's rage.
Yeah.
No one wants to go with society. I didn't feel like a part of society. I kind of felt like I fit into something finally. And that just carried over into other areas of my life, those ideas and just rebellion. I ended up getting pregnant at 19. And through all those rage years, I hated God if there was a God. I was very angry and very mad and couldn't understand why I would have to go through all the things that I did and that He would take my mother away. And so anytime anybody approached me about church, I was very defiant. I would tell them what I thought about it.
Yeah.
And as I raised my children, being very small, I tried to be this perfect punk rock Pollyanna mom. And it turned into pretty much an obsession and an addiction to have control over my life. And I finally had a nervous breakdown over that and really got heavily involved into drugs again. And it just progressed into a really insane heroin addiction. And it kept going. And from that heroin addiction, it turned into gang activity. And I got involved in that kind of lifestyle. All my anger and hate and rage, and I could take it out. It was in a white supremacy gang.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about rage and anger and hate and drugs. You know, they don't believe in God. They believe in this mythological God. And I never bought that story, but my personality started transforming. And I did buy the ideas after a while. And I was living in a house that had a lot of gang activity going on with my boyfriend at the time. And the lady that owned the house was a Christian. And I went out to pay her rent. She wasn't there very often. We lived in this back part of this house, and she was in the front. It was an older woman, and she always had TBN on. And we have the big TBN station out here in Orange County.
Yeah.
And anytime I would drive by it, I didn't know what demons were. I didn't know what was going on inside of me. I would look at that TBN, and I would roll down my window and flip it off and cuss God out.
Wow.
Literally.
Yeah.
And just super blasphemous, not knowing anything about it, but I would let it all out on that building.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I saw her watching TV, there was a little lion that would come up, kind of an emblem in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing would rise up inside of me, and I would get real angry and full of that hate. And I went out to pay rent on this particular day, and they had handed her the check, and she was watching a show. And it caught my interest. It showed this guy smoking crack. And so it really caught my interest.
Yeah.
You know, one addict to another. And this little baby came in, and he's pushing the baby away, and I'm engrossed now. And I just sat there watching, and he starts skating. And my ex-brother-in-law was a professional skateboarder, and something seemed real familial about this show. And at the end of the show was probably 300 kids, and he was smiling. And all I remember was his voice in the background. I missed the beginning of it, and I missed the end. And at the same time, my boyfriend had grown up in Orange County and had some friends that were in the punk rock scene and had made some contact with him and said, we're going to this radical church. Why don't you come? And had invited us. And he was pressuring me to go. Yeah. And I didn't want to. We struggled with it. We battled. Our regular program was to get up every day and go to the methadone clinic. We had a double habit. And then we would go pick up our dope. And one day, my boyfriend's brother had come and he invited us. And he was smoking speed that day, saying, oh, yeah, I went to that church. It was so awesome. And I'm like, see, they're all hypocrites. I'm never going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Another couple weeks had passed in the same thing, a Sunday morning. And I woke up after we had gone to the clinic. And it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and my boyfriend was dressed up, and I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to church. I got real angry and violent and started throwing stuff at him, and I told him he was a liar and that he wasn't going, and he was going to get drugs, and he wasn't going to go without me.
Wow.
And he told me I had 5 minutes to get ready. And my standard dress issue back in that day was long black men's shirts. No one could see the track marks on my arms.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I brushed my teeth. I put my hair in a ponytail real quick, had makeup on for 4 days, sunglasses, and got in the car and realized we were going the wrong way. It wasn't the way we normally went. About 5 minutes down the road, there was a little community center, and I thought he was tricking me. And I'm like, come on, turn around, go the other way. And I kept feeling my heart racing, and I started having an anxiety attack, and I was crying. And he's like, we are going to church. As soon as we go to church, we'll go pick up.
Afterwards, yeah.
That was, you know, the thinking back then.
Oh, yeah.
And so we pulled into this community center, and I still thought it was a joke, but I was mad and angry. And I said, I can't go in there looking the way I do. He said, if my brother can go in there looking the way he does, then you sure can too, babe. And I was like, okay. And I put my sunglasses on, and we snuck in, and we sat in the back, and he's waving at everyone, smiling, and I'm just laughing, going, oh, no way. I can't believe this. I'm so embarrassed. I was laughing out of embarrassment, and I sunk down in my seat. And it was pretty small. There was about 60 people in the church at that time. And I was so slunk down in my seat that I didn't even look forward. I was just ashamed, embarrassed, didn't want to be there. I started saying that my nose was running to him. We had to leave. I was dope sick. We needed to go pick up. And he's telling me to be quiet and that we would go after we were finished. Mm-hmm. And then the pastor started talking, and something about his voice seemed very familiar. And I leaned out of my chair. I was on the end of the aisle. I didn't want anyone to see me, even though I was still in the back. Mm-hmm. And I looked up, and I think my jaw dropped just about to my knees, if it literally could have. And I took my sunglasses off, and I looked again, and I started elbowing my boyfriend, going, that's the guy, that's the guy, that's the guy. And he's like, what guy? And I'm like, the guy on TV, the guy I told you that was a pro skater that was smoking crack.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, really? And he looks again, and then I'm just tripping out. I didn't hear anything that the pastor said the rest of the service, and I just remember at the end, I didn't say the salvation prayer. I didn't even hear it. I just went up front, and he was looking at me, smiling. He's like, hi, nice to meet you. And I'm like, were you the guy smoking crack on TV? And that's all that came out. And he's like, yeah, that was probably me. When was that? And I told him, and he's like, oh, it's probably a rerun. And he was just staring through me, it felt like. And I was very nervous and scared. And I remember us leaving. I did go get high again that day, but I couldn't get loaded.
And
there was something different that changed. And within a couple weeks, we were just on the methadone clinic, thinking at that time that that was good enough. And we continued the church back and forth, and took about 4 months. And one night at a Bible study, after my boyfriend had OD'd, and I was kicking about 3 grams of heroin and 90 milligrams of methadone, which is a very hard kick for those people out there that are addicts. They understand. And it literally feels like you're going to die. I was getting sick in every physical way and knew I needed to be at that Bible study that night. It was Pastor Jay, and he laid hands on me. And I felt the fire of God go through me, and I thought that they paid people to do that on TV. People didn't just fall over. And that whole day, God kept telling me, I had gone to the Bible study a couple times, go to church, you know, either on the clinic or relapsing and being high, but they still loved on me. Mm-hmm. And one of the members told me, you know, just start in the book of John if you don't know how to read. I'm like, I don't know how to read the Bible. It doesn't make sense. I would read it intellectually and not get any revelation. He's like, just read the book of John. And that day I read the book of John 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept watching TVN, which I didn't believe in before. And when that experience happened to me, there was about 8 of us at the Bible study at that time, and I think everybody in the room was crying. They all had the exact same experience that I did as Jay laid hands on me.
Amen.
And really felt me being delivered from that evilness of heroin, of methadone. I was doing speed as well at the time. Anything that I could put in a spoon, that was it.
Well, now, Jules, how did this lead up to you becoming involved with the uprising?
Well, you know, after that had happened and being touched by the Holy Spirit, I didn't get into my word, and I had some struggles for a couple of years. I didn't completely surrender my life to the Lord, and there came a point where that happened. God spoke to me, gave me revelation. I got rid of all the things that my heart desired in the world, and I surrendered that to the Lord, and I just pursued Him passionately. And I think that Jay saw that I decided to forsake. He saw the battles and the struggles I was going through, and I was looking for a job, and no one would respond to my resume, what I was putting out there. And Jay just came to me one day and said, you know, I felt like the Lord's asking me to ask you if you'd like to work for the Uprising Ministry. And praise God, because God, you know, where He closes one door, He opens another. And my life hasn't been the same since then. It's growing. I feel super blessed to be a part of this ministry. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, they overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And what they do is they are overcoming the world and Satan by the blood and by the word of their testimony, which empowers me in being part of their ministry and their testimony as well.
Amen. It's an amazing story, but it's not your story so much as it's God's story lived through you, which you clarified at the beginning of the program. I want you to tell us a little bit about, maybe give us some insights on this as well, because we have Chris Jones later in the week, who's part of Call to Glory, which is a punk rock band that sings for the Lord. But there seems to be an integration of that punk scene with a lot of the skateboarding. Can you explain that to us?
It was just the culture back then, and I remember even being in that punk scene, but being attracted to skaters. It was about rebellion, it was about anarchy, it was about being different and doing something that no one else could do. And there was just this air about it that I'm it, I'm the man, I'm the bomb, I'm the chick, that's it, you can't touch me, I have something that you don't have. It was rebelling against the grain. Skateboarding really, you know, had taken off in the 70s, and it just had this momentum going, and then came in the vert. And I remember at the time, Christian in his big, low spandex shorts.
Christian,
you know?
Soy.
That's how I remember him. Yeah, it was his long hair flying around, and there was something attractive about him. There was this attention to him because he rebelled. He was different. He wasn't like any of the other skaters.
Yeah.
And it went hand in hand with that punk music scene.
Yeah.
And that was what we playing when people were skating in the bowls, or, you know, you had it on your Walkman at that time, and they just went hand in hand, rebelling against the natural grain.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think maybe a lot of our youth today do feel a rebellion, but it's not quite what they think it is. Maybe the rebellion that they're feeling in them is a rebellion against what the world has to offer them. And if they take that energy and that focus and put it on the creator of the universe, the one that forgives them of sin, the one that wants to spend eternity with them, it is an amazing explosion of young people's lives and purpose. Do you see that happening there?
Oh, exactly. It's so awesome that God's just using skateboarding as a tool for His glory.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really swept the nation again as being the new back-in thing, you know, what old is new again.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see that with the youth, what's going on here, because they have a passion for it, and God's using these guys as that platform.
Yeah.
As well as Chris with Call to Glory, you know, I knew his band out in the world. I kind of followed his band that was a worldly band. And it's awesome that God just brought us all together to see His purpose glorified in their talent.
Amen. And Chris Jones, who is in Call to Glory, is a part of that Uprising TV program as well, isn't he?
Correct.
He's the only one that's not a professional skateboarder, actually.
No, he's not a professional skateboarder. Chris had a band out in the world, and God really ministered to him as he started coming to the sanctuary about forsaking that because it had become his idol. And he turned around and used his talents for the Lord and put the band together. And Jay invited All the Glory to be a part of the actual uprising is here as we tour. And when we do a huge event, they're definitely part of it. They're an integral part. They get the crowd going. Their music is definitely relevant to this age, especially that old is new. It has that very rock and roll, punk rock vibe. But every word glorifies God and what God's done in their lives.
And that's what we seem to notice across the board, not only with the uprising, but with a lot of things that God is doing across the nation. He is raising up people right in the midst of rebellion and darkness that are taking their talents. I mean, we're not talking about some fringe skaters. We're talking about heavyweights. Some of the names here that are living, sold out for Christ, they're big names. So God is raising people up out of different areas of life all around this nation that are becoming beacons of light, using their talents, whatever it may be. You don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be a pro skateboarder to utilize your talents and gifts for the glory of God. I mean, there are so many talents that are placed in individuals. Let's face it, we're all created for a purpose. And those desires, those talents, those gifts that are in you are not yours alone. They belong to the body of Christ. What we need to do is to just encourage people to use those talents to glorify God. And that's why I so much want to encourage you guys just to take a look at least one of these programs. So let's give that website one more time, Jules, please.
It is www.steelroots.com/theuprising. We also have a website for The Uprising Is Here, which is www.theuprisingishere.com, where you can contact us for information on booking a tour as well as to see what these guys are really all about.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jules. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it was a little hard to pin you down because you guys are very busy. You were in the process of filming season 2 as we speak, right?
Correct. They are. The fellows are in the process of filming season 2 as well as we're setting up some dates for this year as well.
Okay. So when this season 2 comes out, what stations, what networks would they be able to find this on?
They will be able to find it through DirecTV. I believe it is on Inspiration Network, as well as iLife, which is part of the Inspiration Network. And I believe it is on the God Channel as well. And what you'd want to do is contact your cable provider and tell them, I'm looking for the show, The Uprising. What channel is it on? And I would like to get that so I can be empowered by these guys' radical decision to serve the Lord and influence others.
Amen. I think they will be playing season 1 again to lead into season 2 because it got a lot of attention. If you remember correctly, Jules, you'll remember this. ABC News Nightline actually did an interview with the guys.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And it was a very powerful interview, and it just shows what God's doing in their lives as they take the talent out into the world. We're called to be salt and light of the world, and that's what these guys are exactly doing. We cannot reach the lost as the bride of Christ if we stay in our own community, in our church community. We have to go out and preach the gospel.
Amen. Amen. You know what? One of my favorite statements in there by the interviewer was like, hey, these guys go out and try and convert people they meet on the streets. And as a matter of fact, they even tried to convert us. And I was like,
praise God. And you know, that's a seed that's planted. Whether that guy has conversion or not, only God's going to know that. But he's not going to ever be able to get away from the fact that those guys presented the Lord in front of him. He has to stand accountable for the Lord.
Amen.
And he was told about the gospel. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you again so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for blessing us.
Well, thank you all for joining us here today on Radio Friendships. We encourage you to join us again here throughout this week as we bring you more interviews with people that are involved with the uprising. We'll have Elliot Roosh, the producer of the program. We'll have Brian Sumner, which many people will recognize as a pro skateboarder. We'll have Chris Jones, the punk rocker that we were talking about earlier, and possibly Jay Hayslip to finish it up. He is the pastor and the glue of these fiery young disciples that are taking the great news into the streets of the world. Praise God. Anyways, thank you all for joining us today on Radio Friendships. Please join us again here tomorrow where we love to speak about the great and mighty God and the many ways throughout the world to serve Him. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.